Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen-Coop.
Hello, and welcome to the Building a Better World podcast. Welcome to episode number 9. My name is Sean Clausen-Coop, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. In the last episode, I talked about community living and how it can be just a remarkable strategy for saving money, drastically reducing our footprints, and potentially living amazing and enjoyable lives if we can get past the drama that comes with living with other humans. In today's episode, I want to talk about diets, and we're going to talk about veganism and omnivores and junk food and all sorts of things. We're going to talk about health and environmental impact. So please stay tuned. I hope that there's some new ideas here for you. But before I get into that, I just want to thank everyone who has subscribed and left a review for this podcast. It really helps to allow more people to hear about it and hopefully, you know, make a larger impact on the world. So if you haven't done so, I'd really appreciate if you would leave a review. It helps me. But hopefully it also helps our planet, so that'd be really great too. Okay, today's topic, diets. Here we go. Before I say anything, I wish to say that I have a lot of respect for vegans who are sacrificing delicious food for what they believe in. I think that's really noble, and I think that would be really hard for a lot of people. I know it's really hard for a lot of people. Okay, so I've said that, and now I want to make another statement here, and that is that I'm going to discuss at some points the idea of still eating meat. And I want to be very clear that I am not talking about the conventional meat that you can buy from the grocery store. I am unequivocally opposed to CAFOs and everything associated with them. If you're not familiar with the word CAFO, it's the concentrated animal feed operation. It's this idea of just putting animals into pretty much the most unnatural environment you can possibly imagine, feeding them crap, pumping them up full of drugs to not die, and then deciding that we can put that on a shelf and feed it to a human, and it's apparently good for them. Yeah, no, I don't advocate that at all in any way. I would rather be vegan than eat that meat or use any other products that come from those animals. A challenging point to consider for the vegans, though, is that if you're buying food from the grocery store, this isn't my point. Michael Pollan made this point in his book, The Omnivore's Dilemma. So I'm not claiming credit for this one. If you buy conventional food from the grocery store, most of it is grown using ginormous tractors that are tilling and squishing all sorts of birds and mice and, well, not to mention the billions of bacteria that get destroyed every time you till. So if you're buying a conventional carrot from the grocery store, you might be killing more animals than if you buy a steak. And then you start having the difficult conversation of what is more important. So there's a thought for you. Maybe it makes you really uncomfortable. Maybe it'll be thought-provoking. Either way, I want to move on now. I want to talk about health. And I want to talk about what food is good for us and what food is not good for us. And I think that some people are going to thrive on a vegan diet and others are going to get very sick. And I think the same thing for an omnivore diet. I tried to go vegetarian a few years ago and I got very sick. And right now, I actually can't eat beans or lentils. If I do, I get a massive headache. And so for me, eating meat seems to do quite well for me. But I know other people for whom, you know, it makes them quite sick. And so I think that's kind of a wash there. There isn't one solution that works for everyone. And I think when we're looking at studies that are saying that a vegan diet is healthier than an omnivore diet, what we're often seeing is someone who's saying a vegan diet, but when you look at it, it's like super healthy, like lots of fresh stuff, lots of raw stuff, very little processing. And you look at the omnivore diet that's being compared in these studies, and it's like the standard American diet with all the processed crap that goes along with that. Yeah, I think if you compare any wholesome diet to any non-wholesome diet, you're going to get the results you would expect. So I think that what we need to focus on instead is having a wholesome diet, whether it has meat or animal products or not. And then, you know, people can decide if they want to have animal products based on what works well for them. And we respect each other's choices in that matter. And so in our book, we came up with a new word to describe what we would like to advocate for diets. And that is VORP, V-O-R-P, which is an acronym that stands for Virgin, Strictly Organic, Rich Soil, and Permaculture Polyculture. And so there's a lot of different things that go along with that, but here's what we say in the book that VORP includes. So low processing, low packaging, foods are grown in aged soil with a high organic matter level, plants have a polyculture of at least a dozen species, they're harvested with minimal soil disturbance, they're harvested by hand, a little bit more like gardening than farming, super localized inputs, minimal irrigation, focus on seasonal foods, minimalized grafting, super localized plant and animal varieties, no cardboard or newspaper or pesticides, even the OMRI approved pesticides that organic is allowed to use, and a focus on growing plants in a space that suits them as opposed to adding fertilizers and using pesticides to force an artificial environment. And for the animals in the system, we're talking pampered animals here. None of this CAFO business. So that's what we are advocating. We think that it's far superior to any other diet choice that is proposed. And then people can choose, again, whether having animals feels like a good fit for them or not. Now I want to move into the environmental discussion, because it seems like half of the people I've met who are going vegan are doing so because of environmental reasons. And the numbers are that animal agriculture is responsible for currently 15% of global carbon emissions, which is a huge amount. That's almost as much as all of transportation. So that's a big deal. But I think that it's important to recognize that this, first of all, this isn't just like cow farts, if that's what you're thinking. This is like all of the like supply chain and everything else that's involved, including all of the energy that's going towards raising grain to feed to animals that weren't made to eat grain. And so, yeah, 15% is a huge amount, but I think that what all of these studies are failing to look at is alternative options that actually are far better for the environment, including options that sequester carbon into the soil or repair degraded landscapes that have been desertified by poor management and could be brought back to amazing land management in a way that we could not do without animals easily. My next point is just to remind everyone that natural ecosystems have animals. So I think if we're going to try and model our food production systems off of a natural ecosystem, it only makes sense that we have animals involved. And I'll talk about this in a later podcast, how it can actually save us a ton of work. Even if They are like pets and we don't want to eat them or use any of their products. And we just want to love our animals. It makes things a lot easier. And I think is part of a more balanced ecosystem. Another point is that a lot of the land currently being used for animals, people often advocate removing all of the animals and then, you know, just growing food for people like, you know, legumes and stuff like that on the remaining land and soy. And the challenge is that a lot of the land being used for animals is unsuitable at this time for human crops at scale. And a lot of the grain that goes for animal feed is grain that is deemed unsuitable for human consumption. And I think that if we're going to deem grains to be too bad for human consumption, we shouldn't be feeding them to animals either. And so I have so many thoughts on this, but I think we can do a lot better for animals, and we can restore degraded landscapes. Alan Savory has a lot of amazing work in this space, and there's a lot of other people who have some great thoughts as well. Paul and I did a lot of research on different diets and different thoughts on how much of a carbon footprint they can have. And so we had a massive discussion on this, and I don't have time for a massive discussion in this podcast. So I'm going to summarize for you. Here are the results that we came up with. In our opinion, the carbon footprint in tons of different diet options. You have the standard American diet purchased from the grocery store, 10.5 tons. You have the, let's say, standard vegan diet purchased from the grocery store, 6 tons, because you're getting rid of all of that incredible inefficiency from the conventional animal agriculture systems. Then you have the standard American diet, but with pastured animals instead. So you're still buying it from the grocery store. And then instead of 10.5 for standard American diet and 6 for vegan, we're looking at 4.5. Now we're advocating for VORP. So if we could figure out a way to get VORP into the grocery store, we'd be looking at 2 tons. Then we have a vegan garden, just standard vegan garden, 0.5 tons. So that's you're growing your own food in your backyard, 0.5 tons. Then if we have the VORP omnivore forest garden, so we're growing animals and trees and all sorts of a whole ecosystem and harvesting from that, our net carbon footprint per person could be -1 ton. And I've had a couple of people ask, well, why does it have to be an omnivore forest garden? Does that affect the carbon sequestration? And I'm going to say yes, because the animals can do a lot more work than the humans can and make it a lot easier so that you can make a much bigger impact. They also just drastically reduce the amount of work we need to do. But I'll talk about that more in a future episode. Basically, the point I'm making is if we focus on VORP, on growing food in a way that is similar to how food grows in nature, and use that to our advantage, then we can sequester carbon as we produce food and fuel and other such things for humans. And this is a huge difference from being a third or so of our carbon footprint bought from the store and a huge chunk of our petroleum footprint. So we're going to talk a lot more about this in the next episodes. But again, just a point to say that rather than saying that everyone should be vegan for the environment, I think we should advocate for VORP. Let's advocate for growing all food in a way that's healthy for the environment. And then, you know, again, people can decide whether they want to eat or use animal products based on what works well for them. So I hope this was interesting to you. Obviously, a huge topic that we could spend forever talking about, and I've tried to keep it relatively short for you today. There's a lot more on this topic in the book, and so much more that we could say, but I'm going to leave it there for today. In the next episode, I'm going to kind of continue on this trend that you can maybe tell, and I'm going to talk about the value of growing your own food and how that can drastically impact so many things in our life, including some of the ones I just touched on here. Besides that, I just want to thank you again for listening. If you haven't bought the book yet, please consider giving it a buy, whether that's an ebook, the physical book, or the audiobook. You can do that by going to buildingabetterworldbook.com, and all of the links are there. So, yeah, that's all for today. Thanks very much. I hope you have a great day. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.